From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shay Stevens. Emergency crews are using helicopters to dump water on Japan's crippled nuclear reactors in hopes of cooling them down. NPR's Dwali Saikautal says smoke is still billowing from the earthquake-damaged Fukushima plant after reports of a fire and explosion there.
Images captured by media helicopters show plumes of white smoke or steam continuing to rise from what is believed to be reactor number 3 of the Fukushima nuclear plant. Japan's cabinet secretary Yukio Edano said shortly after the local radiation reading increased. Edano speaking through an NHK interpreter.
Near the front gate, the radiation reading is fluctuating hour by hour, but on the whole, it imposes no health hazard.
The facility was then evacuated, and the situation continues to be monitored closely for more possible damage at the plant. Still, the government claims the amount of radiation leakage is low and not harmful to humans. Dwali Saikautal, NPR News, Koriyama City, Japan.
Japan's central bank is pumping money into the country's economy in the wake of the devastation triggered by last week's earthquake and tsunami. But economist Jeff Threadgold says the move is not unprecedented.
It's not all that different from the Federal Reserve injecting, you know, a couple of trillion dollars in the American economy over the last couple of years.
Threadgold says central banks make drastic moves to reassure markets and to maintain liquidity. Japanese stocks rebounded from yesterday's huge losses. The benchmark Nikkei is up nearly 6% today after falling around 16% earlier in the week. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials recover from a nearly 300-point loss yesterday. The blue chips, NASDAQ, and S&P all ended the session around 1% lower. Police in Bahrain are clearing roads in the capital, Manama, as clashes between security forces and opposition protesters continue. Military troops and security forces are trying to end nearly 5 weeks of anti-government demonstrations. NPR's Frank Langford says the crackdown began shortly after dawn today.
Yesterday, the king declared a state of emergency and said the military here could use all force necessary to bring order back to this island. It was also yesterday that they brought in troops from Saudi Arabia and some police from the United Arab Emirates, and they came across the causeway from Saudi Arabia to kind of reinforce the police here. And so everybody was expecting that either last night or this morning they would come here and clear the traffic circle.
NPR's Frank Langford in Manama, Bahrain. Lebanon is circulating a draft UN Security Council resolution to declare a no-fly zone over Libya. The proposal requests all necessary measures to protect civilians and civilian objects. Some key council members, including the United States, have questioned whether a no-fly zone would be effective. This is NPR News. The Congressional Oversight Panel says the government's bailout of U.S. businesses considered too big to fail may have prevented a depression, but the watchdog group says it also may have set the stage for a new crisis. The panel says financial institutions may now feel confident that the government will come to the rescue if they resume excessive risky behavior. The group's final report also criticizes the government for not doing enough to help homeowners and others affected by the financial crisis. The first two games of the NCAA men's basketball tournament were played Tuesday night. NPR's Mike Pesca reports that for the winners, things won't get any easier.
UNC Asheville got a big three-pointer from Matt Dickey to send their game against Arkansas Little Rock into overtime. There, the Bulldogs prevailed and were quickly rushed to their very first charter flight so they could arrive in Washington, D.C. to play number one seed Pittsburgh on Thursday. In the later game, Clemson soundly defeated the University of Alabama at Birmingham. UAB was derided by some fans as being an undeserving tournament invitee, and they did little to counter that perception. Clemson next plays West Virginia on Thursday. Mike Pesca, NPR News.
A former Minnesota nurse vows to appeal his conviction of encouraging the suicides of two people, one in Canada and another in Britain. Prosecutors say William Melkert Dinkle acknowledged discussing suicide with up to 20 people over the internet and that he allegedly entered fake suicide packs with half of them. Melkert Dinkle waived his right to a jury trial, arguing that his actions constituted protected free speech. His sentencing is scheduled for early May. I'm Shay Stevens, NPR News, from Washington. Support.